إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. نعم إن شاء الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This afternoon, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to start a new course, Arabic Lessons in Hadith, Level 2, Al-Mustawa Thani. And this course is part of the curriculum for the second level, Arabic Institute, Islamic University in Medina. And you may be aware, or you may not be aware, that the book that we have been studying, the Medina course, book 1, 2, and 3, is part of a complete program. And that program, in each level, includes other subjects that are studied along with the grammar. So in some of the levels, there's reading and writing and conversation. And then there's also Islamic studies, fiqh and hadith and tafsir and aqidah and seerah and Islamic history. So this is part of the whole curriculum. And in each level there are different topics that are taken. In this level there's fiqh and there's hadith. And the fifth book we already covered previously. Recently we completed it. And today inshallah we're going to start a new course that is the hadith course. Arabic Lessons in Hadith, Level 2. The title that they have placed on this book, Arabic Lessons in Hadith, is an indication that the first purpose of this book is to increase the student in knowledge of the Arabic language. Students are in the Arabic Institute to learn Arabic, and so this is part of that effort to increase the knowledge of the student in the Arabic language. And secondly, along with studying Arabic, to get a great extra benefit, then these extra courses are set up so that the student also at the same time is learning some basics of the jurisprudence, fiqh, or hadith, or explanation of the Quran, tafsir, and so on. So there's a twofold purpose here for this course. One, to strengthen the student in the Arabic language, in vocabulary and grammatical rules. And two, to increase the student in knowledge of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, so the book that we have in front of us contains 20 hadith, and we intend to cover them perhaps, probably, one by one, unless we're able in a session to cover more than one, then we'll do that. But for the most part, we'll probably be taking one hadith in each session, going over the hadith, for memorization as well as understanding the meaning of the individual words, the vocabulary words and grammatical rules that are contained in each particular hadith. Before we take the first hadith, we're going to look at the introduction, the taqdeem. We're going to read it quickly just to have an idea what they have stated here. Which is, I guess, helpful, in the beginning of any book, to read the introduction, to have an idea how the book is set up, what is its purpose and objective, and so on. So on page 2, we have Taqdeem, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I'm not going to read the Arabic for the sake of time, but inshallah you can follow me and hopefully you get some benefit from this section of the book as well. The author begins by praising Allah, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, and making salat for the Prophet, dua for the Prophet, wa salat wa salam ala ashraf al anbiya wal mursaleen, Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. That the salat and salam is upon the most noble of the prophets and messengers, our Yani leader and master Muhammad, and upon his family and his companions, all of them. Yani ala alihi, Yani here means his family, and in some cases, really, this expression alihi is sometimes also including the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, but here we see that they have mentioned alihi wa sahbihi, Yani his family and his companions, ajma'in, all of them. وَمَنْ تَبَعَهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ, and also those who follow them, يعني بإحسان, يعني with, يعني in, with excellence, يعني following them in the best way, with perfection, trying to follow their way exactly, the way they worship, the way they believe, their character, manners, and da'wah, and so on. So here, يعني this is a supplication for the Prophet ﷺ, for his family and his companions, and whoever followed in their way, until the day of judgment. Meaning that even up until today, the people that follow them, then this dua also includes them. After this, amma ba'd, after this, they said, indeed, this is awwalu ahd lit-talib bidirasat al-hadith al-nabawi al-sharif. Yani, in this institute, this is the first time, the beginning of the student's study of the noble prophetic hadith. And in the first level, there's no study of hadith. So this is the first time that the student in the institute is studying hadith. وَقَدْ اخْتَرْنَا مَجْمُوَةً مِنَ الْحَدِيثِ مُرَاعِينَ فِيهَا سُهُولَةَ اللَّفْظِ وَالتَّرْكِيبِ وَالْمَعْنَى. Yani, the compilers of this book, they have chosen a group of hadith of the Prophet ﷺ in consideration, yani taking care to try to select hadith which were easy in the expressions, yani the wording, and the tarqib, yani the sentence structures of those hadith, and also in the meaning. Yani they took care to try to select hadith which the expressions of the hadith are easy, and the sentence structures are easy, and the meaning also is easy to understand. Yani, what is the purpose? The purpose is to, yani, learn some hadith and also to learn some Arabic language without there being a great difficulty upon the student at this early level in their studies of Arabic. After this, they said, we have arranged them, meaning the hadith. رَتَّبْنَاهَا, we have arranged them also based upon this meaning, yani this point of making sure that the hadith will be easy to learn and to understand. Brothers, stop, take a paper from him. So for this reason, فَقَدَّمْنَا الْأَسْهَلْ عَلَى السَّهَلْ وَالسَّهَلْ عَلَى السَّعَبْ. What is the meaning of this? قَدَّمْنَا الْأَسْهَلْ عَلَى السَّهَلْ وَالسَّهَلْ عَلَى السَّعَبْ. What is the meaning here? Huh? Sort of, yani al-ashal al-sahal, yani those which are easier were given preference over others which are easy, but the easier were given preference over that which is easy. So there are a lot of hadith here which are easy, but some are even easier. So the easiest ones were given preference over those which are easy, and then the ones which were easy were given preference over those which were difficult, hard, difficult. Okay, so some of the hadith here are difficult, and then some are easy. So the easy ones came first. And some of them are even easier, so they came before the easy ones. Yani the easiest came first, and then those which are less easy, and then those which were difficult. Naam, question?
You were calling up slow, some of this word.
Huh? No, the introduction is not really intended for us to study. Yani I just want you to know what they're saying in the introduction. Yani, at some other point, perhaps you might ask questions about the introduction if there's something that's not clear. Our intent now really is just to give you the general idea of what they have written in the introduction so that you can be aware of it. Yani, I only asked this question here because it was a little bit unusual, yani, uslub that they used here. I thought it would be interesting to understand how they expressed this meaning. Okay, after this they said, لقد شرحنا من المفردات ما يمكن شرحها بلغة يفهمها طالب هذا المستوى. يعني indeed we have explained the مفردات. The مفردات means what? The individual words, the vocabulary words. Okay, the individual vocabulary words. We have explained them wherever it was possible, to whatever extent it was possible to explain them with a language بلغة يفهمها طالب هذا المستوى. يعني with a language that it يعني could be understood by the student on this level, second level student. Okay, again, this course is for those who have completed المستوى الأول, the first level, or at least its equivalent. This class is for people who have finished the first level or its equivalent. And if somebody sat in the class who didn't do level one, they're welcome to sit. But يعني, technically, a person should have finished level one in order to be able to benefit from this, because this is a level two course, and يعني, the person that's going to benefit is the one who has already taken the foundation material from level one. So anyway, he said we have explained it in such a way that the student of this level, يعني, the second level, should be able to understand it. And wherever it was not possible, وَمَا لَمْ يُمْكِنْ شَرْحُهَا بِهَذِهِ السُّورَةِ أَدْخَلْنَاهُ فِي جُمْلَةٍ أَوْ أَكْثَرَ حَتَّى يَتَّضِحَ مَعْنَاهُ. Wherever it was impossible to explain the meaning of these words in a simple fashion that a second level student can understand, then what we have done, and if we're not able to explain it in this way, then we have used those words in a sentence or more than one sentence until its meaning became clear. Yani, examples of that word in different sentences so that you can understand the meaning of it. And then the teacher will make more clear, يوضح المدرس, the meaning يعني, of these vocabulary words. Either يعني, in this way or by bringing يعني, the item itself, يعني, a book or a pen or a chair or something, so that the people can see what it actually is يعني, by looking at the item itself, or by some type of movement, يعني, showing motion, يعني, demonstrating what the meaning of that word is. And if the teacher wanted to demonstrate the meaning of يعني, جلسة, and it was difficult to explain, then he would stand and then go near a chair and sit and say جلسة. You know, another person, he would tell somebody else, you know, go over there and sit, and then يعني, say, he would demonstrate يعني, the meaning of the word. Okay, here they said, we have given care. يعني وقد احتممنا بالنواحي النهوية. يعني we have given care to the side or the aspect of this study related to نحو. يعني grammar. Grammar meaning the composition of sentences from individual words. We have given care to this aspect of our study, and we have explained a group or some number of masail issues by means of tamthil, by demonstration. And we are pointing here to some affairs that the teacher in teaching this book should give care to. We are going to what? Point here to some issues that the teacher should give care to in teaching this text. The first of them is that the hadith in this book are easy hadith, and the student. And here there's just a typing error here. It says وَيُمْكِن. Number one, and الْحَدِيثَ سَحْلَةٌ وَيُمْكِنُ الطَّالِبَ. It should be وَيُمْكِنُ الطَّالِبُ. And it is possible that the student can understand these hadith إذا فهم مفرداتها وتركيباتها أو وتراكيبها. يعني it's possible for the student to understand these hadith if the student understands the individual vocabulary words and the تراكيب, يعني meaning the way that the words are put together, يعني the way that the words are put together into expressions or phrases or sentences. If the student understands the manner of arrangement of the words, how they are put together, and understands the meaning of individual words, then it's possible to understand these hadith from that alone. And if a person knows the meaning of the individual words and they understand the sentence structure, that there's fa'il, fa'al, maf'ulun bi, that there's mubtada, khabar, and so on, then they can understand these hadith, insha'Allah. And the teacher should suffice, yaktafi al-mudarris, bishar shafawi. And if the teacher should suffice in explaining the meanings of these hadith orally, alone. And the teacher should not come with a written explanation, because this will occupy the student, yani distract them from concentrating on the hadith itself. Yani at this level, what is intended is that the student understand the hadith by understanding the individual vocabulary words and the sentence structure. And the teacher will further explain whatever is necessary orally, and there's no need for a written explanation. Of course, yani if anybody wants a written explanation, then they are available, right? Yani this hadith, the first hadith that we're going to take is from Sahih Muslim. You can go to the explanation of Sahih Muslim, and you can read it on your own. But we're not going to be taking the written explanations. And if there's a need at some point, we might refer to something. But for the most part, it will be oral explanation. Okay, on page 3, on the top of the page, number 2. The second matter that the teacher should give care to, يَحْفَظُ الْتُلَّابِ هَذِي الْحَدِيثِ. Yani, we're going to make some effort that every one of us should memorize these hadith. Yani, we should give care to this. It's important that these hadith should be memorized as much as is possible, according to our ability. For indeed, in the memorization of these hadith, the students memorizing the hadith, there's a fa'idah kabira من الناحيتين الدينية واللغوية. Because in memorizing these hadith, there's a great benefit from both aspects, from both sides, from the side of yani the religious aspect of understanding the meaning of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, and as well from the aspect of grammar, of learning, yani understanding or increasing our knowledge, yani linguistic meaning. The linguistic meanings also, we hope that we will benefit yani from the perspective of deen, and we will also benefit from the linguistic perspective. The third manner, number 3, وضعنا لكل حديث مجموعتين من التمارين تختص المجموعة الأولى باستيعاب معاني الحديث وروايته وإخراجه وتحتم المجموعة الثانية بالنواهي اللغوية والنهوية. So here he's saying that we have, يعني the compilers of this book, we have placed two groups of exercises, majmu'atayn. For each hadith, there are two groups of exercises. The first group is yani intended to help the person to grasp the meanings of the hadith, and yani the riwayah, yani the riwayah and the ikhraj, meaning yani who has narrated the hadith and who has collected the hadith. Who the ikhraj means, who has collected the hadith in the book, like Imam Bukhari or Muslim or Abu Dawud, who has narrated the riwayah, who has narrated, like the companion Abu Huraira or Aisha or Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhum ajma'in, and so on. So this is the first yani group of questions is intended to help the student to comprehend and grasp the meanings of the hadith, who has narrated those hadith and who has collected them in their books. The second group gives care to the grammatical and linguistic side of the hadith. Yani the second group of exercises is intended to pay attention, for us to focus upon the grammatical points in the hadith and the linguistic points that one can learn from that hadith. And the exercises of both groups, yani the group of exercises that are dealing with the meanings of the hadith, as well as those who are dealing with the linguistic meanings and grammatical points, من شأنها أن تساعد الطالب على فهم الحديث فهما متكاملا إن شاء الله. Yani both of these exercises together, both types of exercises are intended to help the student to understand the hadith with a complete understanding. Yani understanding the linguistic meanings and understanding the religious meanings that are contained in that hadith, insha'Allah ta'ala. Finally, they said, يَحْتَمُّ الْمُدَرِّسِ بِهَذِهِ التَّمَارِينِ اِحْتِمَامًا بَالِغًا. Yani that the teacher should give the utmost care to yani these exercises. The exercises shouldn't be taken lightly, but care should be given to them. Yani اِحْتِمَامًا بَالِغًا. فَيُكَلِّفَ الطُّلَّابِ. And then they suggest that the teacher should make responsible. That the teacher should make responsible, yani make the students responsible to, yani solve the exercises, yani to do the exercises shafawiyan, orally first, and then kitabiyan, in writing. Yani we're going to do the exercises orally in class, and you should write them out on your own time, outside of the class. And it would be good that the students share in the solving of these exercises, yani orally, such as, for example, that a student will come to the front of the group and will direct questions to one's classmates. And then another student will come and also direct questions to the classmates, meaning that a student will read the question and the other students should respond to it, and another student will read the question, and inshallah, maybe we won't be standing in the front, but we'll be having everybody reading questions and also answering questions. And also, suggestion, in terms of how these exercises should be done, that some of the linguistic and grammatical exercises should be done on the sabura, on the board. Yani some of them will be writing on the board, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Wallaha nas'alu an yuwaffiqana li khidmati lugati kitabihi al-aziz, innahu sami' mujib. Wallaha, yani with fatha. Wallaha with fatha, why? Huh? Mafhum bi of what? Nas'alu. Naam, the meaning here is nas'alu Allah. Wallaha nas'alu ayuwaffiqna, we ask Allah to grant us success in the service of the language of His mighty book, that is the Quran. Indeed, He is the one who hears and He responds. Okay, so this is the introduction, and basically the summary of the introduction is what? That there are two main objectives of the study here, this course, and that is for us to increase our knowledge of Arabic language, linguistic matters, grammatical matters and things, and at the same time increase in our knowledge of the deen through the study of hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Any question about the introduction? Not the vocabulary words, but what is what the introduction entails. Any question about what we're going to be doing here? I hope that it's clear to everyone that our objective is twofold. That is, first and foremost, of course, this is an Arabic language course, but secondly and equally important is the fact that we want to learn some of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ and their meanings, and we hope that inshallah we will memorize as many of these hadith as possible. There are only 20, so it shouldn't be difficult in the course of a week to memorize one hadith, especially since the majority of the hadith are not more than 10 words. Some of them are even less than 10 words, as is the first one and the second one, and maybe the third one also. Okay, so today we're going to take the first hadith, right? Ad-darsu al-awwalu. On page 4, ad-darsu al-awwalu. Meaning? The first lesson. Naam. An Jabirin radiyallahu anhu qal. Qala Rasulullahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallama. La ta'kulu bishimali. فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَأْكُلُ بِالشِّمَالِ رَوَاهُ مُسْلِمٌ Okay, we're going to read this hadith a few times. Okay, so whoever would like to share with us in the reading, pay attention that we read with voweling on the ends of words, right? If there's no vowel there, please read the vowel anyway. Okay, the first hadith is narrated from Jabir. Jabir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhuma. May Allah be pleased with both him and his father. An Jabir radiyallahu anhu. Meaning? Naam, on the authority of Jabir, may Allah be pleased with him. Note that radiyallahu anhu, radiya is a past tense verb, right? Literally it means what? That Allah was pleased with him. But we remember, right, that sometimes the past tense verb is used as a means of supplication, right, for dua. So that's what's intended here. May Allah be pleased with him. Though literally it means Allah was already pleased with him. And there's no doubt about that. But we're just saying in general, yani all of the Sahaba, Allah is pleased with them. رضي الله عنه قال. قال here means what? He said. Who said? Jabir said. Then قال again. Meaning? Huh? He said. Who said? The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. يعني the first قال is Jabir said, and the second قال is قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. يعني that the Messenger of Allah, he said. يعني may the salat and salam of Allah be upon him. There looks like there's a printing mistake here in the supplication, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And it should be sallallahu. And with dhamma, right? Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, la ta'kulu bishimali, means don't eat with your left. Naam, meaning left hand. La ta'kulu bishimali. La here is la and nahiya. Yani the prohibitive la. That means don't do something. La ta'kulu. Originally this word ta'kulu is the second person, masculine plural. Ta'kuluna. Ta'kuluna. And the noon is omitted or deleted because of what? Because la and nahiya, this is the first of three rules that we're going to learn in this hadith. La and nahiya, yani it makes the mudari verb after it majzoom. In some cases, that mudari verb is going to end with sukoon to indicate that it's majzoom. And in some cases, yani it's going to be the deletion or omission of the noon at the end of it. As in ta'kuluna, ya'kuluna, ta'kulina, and so on. The noon is going to be deleted. And this is a grammatical rule that we're going to look at in this hadith today. La ta'kulu, do not eat, bishimali. And from the rulings of this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, do not eat with your left, means what? That is forbidden, it's haram to eat with your left hand. Why? Because the Prophet said, do not do it. Do not do it. And then he explained to us why you shouldn't do it. فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَأْكُلُ بِالشِّمَالِ فَا here is فَا السَّبَبِيَّ, yani the فَا that indicates the reason for something. Do not eat with your left hand. فَا why? Because indeed a shaytan, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَأْكُلُ بِالشِّمَالِ, shaytan eats with the left. بِالشِّمَالِ with كَسْرَ, not شَمَال. As we will see, yani in the linguistic part of this hadith, you will see the difference between the word shimal and shamal. They are written exactly the same, except the sheen in one has fatha and the other has kasra. Alright? So this is the meaning of this hadith. Jabir, on the authority of Jabir, may Allah be pleased with him, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not eat with your left, meaning left hand, for indeed, because indeed, the devil eats with the left hand. Rawahu Muslim, yani reported by Muslim, yani al-Imam Muslim, rahimahullah. Rawahu Muslim means that Muslim is the one who conveyed this hadith, who collected it and passed it down to the people in his book. Yani sometimes rawahu, yani is used, sometimes they say akhrajahu, akhrajahu, with yani pretty much the same meaning. Okay, let's read the hadith first. Who wants to read first? Musa.
An
Jabirin. رضي الله عنه. قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. نعم. لا تأكلوا بالشمال. فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَأْكُلُ بِالشِّمَالِ. Some of the vowels are written in and some of them are not. pay careful attention to the endings of the words, okay? Because you know this is very important in our study of grammar. Last, the hadith narrated by? Rawahu Muslimun. Anyway, we don't have to pronounce the tanween at the end, but sometimes we want to pronounce all the vowels just so that we're clear. We know what it's supposed to be, right? Rawahu Muslimun. Muslimun. Why does it have tanween and not a single vowel? Why does it have tanween instead of a single dhamma? Because it doesn't have alif lam. Nouns in Arabic language should take alif lam or tanween. Why does it have dhamma and not kasra or fatha? Because Muslim is the one who did the action of narrating. Rawahu Muslimun. Muslim is the one who reported it. What did he report? It. This hadith. Naam, the hadith. Okay, somebody else. Abu Bakr. An Jabirin radiallahu anhu. We should be trying to memorize this hadith right now, huh? An Jabirin radiallahu anhu. Qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallama. Naam. La ta'qulu bishimali. Fa inna shaytana ya'qulu bishimali. Rawahu Muslim. Rawahu Muslim. Somebody else. Shuaib. An Jabirin radiyallahu anhu. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallama. لا تأكلوا بالشمال والكسرة بالشمال فإن الشيطان يأكل بالشمال. نعم. رواه مسلم. Is there anybody who didn't know this hadith before? Note, who did not memorize this hadith before? Who already memorized it? Who didn't memorize it before? Who memorized it now? You didn't memorize it before. You just memorized it while we are sitting here today. Now, Musa, Fadl, from memory. Naam. An Jabirin radiallahu anhu qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallama. لا تأكل بالشمال فإن الشيطان يأكل بالشمال. رواه مسلم. Who else memorized it on the spot here? Now let's try Nasir. Try it. Rawahu Muslim. Jayid, mashallah. Who else? Naam, Adam. Naam. Rawahu Muslim. Somebody else. Faiz. Naam. Rawahu Muslim. The narrator of the hadith is Jabir. An Jabirin. An Jabirin with tanween kasra. Huh? Because of the preposition an. An Jabirin. Radiallahu anhu. Qal. Remember, Jabir said that the Messenger of Allah said. So don't forget. Qala. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallama. لا تأكلوا بالشمال. Don't eat with your left hand. فإن الشيطان يأكل بالشمال. For indeed, Shaytan eats with the left hand. رواه مسلم. Any question about this hadith? نعم. Fa, the fa here, right? The fa has different meanings. Sometimes it means tartib, yani the order of something. That akala fashariba, yani that he ate and then he drank. Sometimes it means it's the reason, yani what follows it is the reason for something. As in this case, yani do not eat with your left hand. Fa means the reason why you are being prohibited from eating with the left hand. Fa, because indeed, inna ash-shaytan, because shaytan eats with the left. Okay, so here fa by itself, yani it means fa as-sababiyya, the reason or the cause, and inna means ta'keed, yani emphasis, yani of the indeed, certainly, surely, shaytan eats with the left hand. Any other question? We're going to come to this. This fa is the second of three rules that we're going to learn, any grammatical rules related to this hadith. Any other question? No, that's a different hadith, the hadith of Amr. Yani where the Prophet ﷺ said, سَمِّ اللَّهِ وَكُلْ بِيَمِينِكَ وَكُلْ مِنْ مَا يَلِيكَ. That was a little boy, yani he was the son of one of the wives of the Prophet ﷺ. He married that woman after her husband was yani killed, and then that boy was under his custody and his care, and then while they were sitting eating, and the boy was yani, he didn't understand these rules, the Prophet ﷺ told him that. Now, okay, after this, any other question about the hadith first? Before we go on, then we're going to look at some of the vocabulary words in the hadith, we're going to look at some of the grammatical rules in this hadith, and then we're going to look at the exercises. But we want to first make sure that the words, yani, of the hadith in general are understood. Yani, general meaning of the hadith, the arrangement of the words, the structure of the sentence, that is clear to us, and then we're going to look at some of the details that they have explained here concerning this particular hadith. Okay, so this hadith, again, عن جابر رضي الله عنه قال, on the authority of Jabir, may Allah be pleased with him, he said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Messenger of Allah said, yani the salat and salam of Allah be upon him, he said, لا تأكلوا, do not eat, بالشمال, with كسرة, with the left, meaning the left hand. فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ, for indeed, because indeed, the devil, the Satan, يَأْكُلُ بِالشِّمَالِ, eats with the left hand. Yani, why is it that we should not eat with the left hand? Because the Prophet ﷺ is warning us against تَشَبُّح بِالشَّيْطَانِ. Didn't the Prophet ﷺ say in an authentic hadith, مَنْ تَشَبَّهَ بِقَوْمٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ. Whoever imitates a people, then he's from them. So if you imitate shaytan, then you become from the party of shaytan. حزب الشيطان. نعم. رواه مسلم. And when we say رواه مسلم, this is very significant, that this hadith is reported by Imam Muslim, رحمه الله. Why is it so significant that the hadith is reported by Imam Muslim? Why is that important to know who has narrated it? Who collected it? Huh? Authenticity. Because we want to know about the authenticity. If a hadith is reported by Imam Muslim, khalas, you can rest. You don't have to worry about it. Huh? A hadith reported by Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, we don't have to worry about it. Huh? Other hadith, yani rawahu, someone else, then we have to check it, right? And make sure that it's okay. Now, a man was eating with his left hand. The Prophet ﷺ told him, don't do that. And then there are other narrations concerning this, yani about the man who refused to eat with his right hand. And the Prophet ﷺ supplicated against him. Now, okay, so after this hadith, yani we have, going down the page, the word ash-shimalu with kasra, yani the letter sheen has shadda, right? Ash-shimal. Yani this shadda has a vowel underneath it. And we know, right, from basic Arabic, we said that if the shadda has the letter underneath it, even though it's above the sheen, that means it's kasra, right? And it can be written underneath the letter, or underneath the shadda, or underneath the hamza, right? So this is shimal, as opposed to shamal, right? And they almost look the same, except that here, this is written with kasra underneath the shadda, and this is written with fatta above the shadda. This shimal and this shamal. Shimal means the left. And shamal means what? North. Okay, so this is something to pay attention to, that sometimes in Arabic, words are written exactly the same. Except maybe some variation in the vowels. Maybe one vowel different. Sometimes many vowels are different. Sometimes just one vowel different. And the meaning is something completely different. Okay, so the first word, vocabulary word we have here is ash-shimal. You have to learn this word. You have to memorize this word. Okay? You're going to memorize the hadith, and you're going to memorize this word with its meaning. Ash-shimal is diddu al-yameen. Ash-shimal is diddu al-yameen. What is didd mean? Opposite. Opposite. Didd means opposite. Al-yameen means what? Right. So ash-shimal, the meaning of ash-shimal, it is the opposite of yameen. Yameen means right, and shimal means left. طيب. Second word. ضد الجنوب الشمال بالفتح. ها؟ ضد الجنوب. The opposite of al-janub. Al-janub. The opposite of al-janub is al-shamal. This one. Al-shamal. The opposite of what does janub mean? South. Janub means south. And the opposite of al-janub is shamal with fatta. The opposite of shimal is yameen. Yani, the opposite of shimal is yameen, right. And the opposite of shamal, north, is al-janub, south. So now we have Yani, we have shimal and we have shamal from this hadith, and we also have two more words that go along with them, right? What are they? Yameen and janub. Yameen and janub. Opposites, right? Opposites. And this is good to learn sometimes when you learn a new vocabulary word. Yani, what's required for this hadith is shimal. That's what's required for this hadith. But it's also good to know yani, some of the words that are associated with it. Okay? It's good to know that the opposite of shimal is yameen. And it's good to know that a word that's almost like shimal is shamal. And its opposite is janub. Notice here it says in this second line, diddu al-janubi. The opposite of janub, which means south, the opposite of south, is ash-shamalu. Ash-shamal bil-fathi. What does it mean, ash-shamal bil-fathi? Means the word shamal is written with the vowel fatha, as opposed to shimal, written with the kasra. Okay, so they're saying the opposite of al-janub, south, is ash-shamal, north, and it's written with fatha. They're making clear, in case you didn't pay attention, and you looked at it, you thought it's the same. Shimal and shimal again. They're saying with fatha. Making it clear to you, no, this one is with fatha. Okay? Wadiddu al-yamini, and the opposite of al-yamin, right, is al-shimal bil-kasri. Yani al-shimal with the vowel kasra. I hope it's clear. Huh? Any question about this line here? Good. Next line. الشيطانُ جمعُهُ شياطينُ. الشيطانُ جمعُهُ شياطينُ. Meaning, the word شيطان means what? Satan, the devil. جمعُهُ, it's plural. It's plural is شياطينُ. The plural of shaytan is shayateen. Notice that it ends with a single vowel, dhamma. Why is it a single vowel? Why is it a single vowel? I mean, it doesn't have alif lam, it should have tanween. We just got finished saying that, right? The nouns have alif lam or tanween. Did we just agree upon that? Huh? The reason why it doesn't have tanween is very simple. Because it's mamnu' min as-sarf. Words that are mamnu' min as-sarf don't take tanween, right? Okay, so note that this word shayateen, unlike the singular shaytan, shaytan is not mamnu' min as-sarf. So shaytan can take tanween if it doesn't have alif lam. But it's plural, if it doesn't have alif lam, it will not take tanween, right? Because it is mamnu' min as-sarf. Shaytan is plural of shayateen. The fourth line, ta'kulu. Ta'kulu, yani this verb originally, yani in the past tense, is akala. Akala. Huwa ya'kulu. Anta ta'kulu. Huh? Anta ta'kulu means that you are eating or you do eat, right? Wa alaykum salam. Notice that this mudari verb, ta'kulu, the past tense is akala, present tense ya'kulu. Here we have the verb ta'kulu ending with dhamma. And this is because the mudari verb originally ends with dhamma. Unless it's changed from being marfu'un to mansub or majzum. Okay, unless it's changed. We're saying what? That the mudari verb ends with dhamma. Yani? Ta'kulu ends with dhamma because it's marfu'un originally. If something changes it, like an or len or something like this, changes it to becoming mansub, then it will change from dhamma to what? It will change from dhamma to fatha if it was mansub. Or if it was majzum by lam, or lemma, huh? Or something like this, or la nahia, then it will become majzum with sukoon. So the mudari verb, it has three possibilities of being marfu'un with dhamma, or mansub with fatha, or majzum with sukoon. Unless it's from af'al al-khamsa, they have noon at the end, then the noon will be deleted if it's majzum or mansub. But what's important here right now is to understand that the mudari verb, yani, akulu, na'kulu, ya'kulu, ta'kulu, should end with dhamma. Unless something acts upon it and changes it from being marfu'un to being mansub or majzum. So what we want to look at here now is when it changed to being majzum. Okay? It had dhamma originally. You see it has ta'kulu. And then after the la, it became la ta'kul with sukoon. La ta'kul with sukoon. The dhamma is removed and replaced by sukoon. And the reasoning for this is because of that la, which they said is what? Hadihi la annahiyatu. An-nahiyatu from an-nahi. An-nahi, yani from naha. Huh? Naha means what? To prohibit something. Okay, so an-nahiya means the la of prohibition. As opposed to la an-nafiya. Nafi, negation. Yani there's negation. Yani a person says, I don't go to the movies. I don't go to the movies. That's negation. But this la is prohibition. don't go to the movies. Huh? Prohibition of somebody is prohibiting you from going to the movies. Okay, so there's two different types of la nafiya, negation, la nahiya, prohibition. So what we are studying here in this lesson, la nahiya, the prohibitive la, meaning when somebody is telling you don't do something, don't leave, don't enter, don't eat, huh? Prohibition, huh? Now it will be la ta'kul. La ta'kul, huh? Without the dhamma here. La ta'kul. If there was la here, as it is in this hadith, this la here is la an-nahiya. The other la, if it was la nafiya, if somebody said, la a'kulu al-khanzir, I don't, negation, I don't eat pig, pork. La a'kulu. It will remain as dhamma because la nafiya doesn't change the mudari verb. But la nahiya, the one that we're studying here, it changes the mudari verb from being marfu'un to being majzum. Okay, so just pay attention to this point. Yani some of us have seen this before, some of us may not have seen it before. Okay, so this is called, yani this changing of the mudari verb from ending with dhamma to sukoon, yani ta'kulu becoming la ta'kul with sukoon. This is because of the la, which they said here, هذه, yani this la, is la an-nahiya. Nahiya means what? Prohibition. Prohibition, the prohibitive la. Okay, after this, we see, yani, examples of the use of this prohibitive, yani, la an-nahiya. We see the verb, tashrabu, which means what? You drink, or you are drinking. Yani anta tashrabu. You drink. Alma tashrabu. La tashrab. La tashrab. Here, la tashrab. We see that tashrabu became, yani, it changed from dhamma to sukoon. La tashrab. Sukoon. This means it became majzoom. Became majzoom. Yani majzoom means that it is what? What do we call majzoom in English? We have a word for that? I think they call it the jussive case. Anyway, we don't need the English, right? What we want to know is that we don't care about the English, right? We care about the Arabic, majzoom. When the mudari verb changes from being marfu'un with dhamma to sukoon, then this means that its case now is majzoom. Majzoom. Alright? So pay attention, because yani, when the verb becomes majzoom, depending on which form of the verb it is, we may see the sign of it being majzoom may be different. It's not always going to be sukoon. Sometimes it's going to be what? Hadf and noon. The noon from the af'al al-khamsa is going to be removed. The noon is going to be removed. So we have to pay attention. And then if the verb, as in the feminine second and third person plurals, have noon and niswa on the end, we say that these verbs are mabniyun. So when they're mabniun, they don't change. Even if la and nahiya comes, they're going to remain the same. Alright? They're going to remain the same. So just pay attention here, especially that there's such a particle, yani a la, that is prohibitive la, when a person is telling you, do not do something. It's called la and nahiya, and it makes the mudari verb, not the past tense verb, the mudari verb, it makes it majzoom. And the sign that it's majzoom here, as we see, is the sukoon. But in some forms of the verb, we will see that it will mean the noon on the end, as in ya'kuluna, or ta'kuluna, or anti ta'kulina. We will see that noon on the end is going to be deleted. That's the sign that it's majzoom. Okay, after this, the next example they gave is tajlisu, yani from jalasa, yajlisu, tajlisu. This is marfu'un with dhamma, After La and Nahiya, it became La Tajlis. La Tajlis Huna. La Tajlis Huna. Huh? If somebody said to us, La Tajlisu Huna, then we all have to get up. Well, I'm already up, right? You guys have to get up. I'm already up, right? La Tajlisu Huna. That means, don't sit here. You can't sit here. Then you might be rebellious and you keep sitting only to come and find out that there was something on the floor that was going to harm you. But you didn't listen, therefore you suffer the consequences of being disobedient. La tajlis, do not sit, means that it's majzoom. Taib, after this we see the different forms that are the use of la and nahiya. Used with the masculine singular, masculine plural, feminine singular, and feminine plural. Okay, on the bottom of page 4, right? The last example that we saw is tajlis, la tajlis, yani the fi'l mudari, yani the present tense verb was marfu with dhamma after la and nahiya became majzoom. After this, we see the word, yani the verb taqulu. It says taqula, right? Fatta, it should be taqulu. There's no reason for that to be fatta. That's just a printing mistake. It should be taqulu with dhamma. Yani you say, for example, if you're speaking to an individual male, ya khalidu, la taqul. Ya khalidu. Masculine, singular, second person. Ya khalidu, la taqul. Here, the mudari verb, yani is used, it's majzoom because of la. Going across, Ya Ikhwanu, masculine, second person, plural, group of men, La Ta'kulu. This Ta'kulu is originally Ta'kuluna. And it's originally the second person, masculine, plural, Ta'kuluna. Ta'kuluna. This noon on the end in Ta'kuluna, as in Ya'kuluna and Ta'kulina, that noon is deleted when it becomes majzoom, and that's why we don't have the full word, we don't have La Ta'kuluna, we have just La Ta'kulu. It's majzoom because of La and Na here, and the sign that it's majzoom, yani, is the omission of the noon at the end of Ta'kuluna. Then if we go down, we see the feminine singular second person, Ya Maryamu, O Maryam. Yani speaking to a female, La ta'kuli. And this ta'kuli, yani originally, is what? Ta'kulina. 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 And again, yani the noon at the end, when it became majzoom by la and nahiya, the noon is deleted, that's why you have what's left, La ta'kuli. Originally it's ta'kulina. That noon is deleted just as it was in ta'kuluna because it became majzoom by la and nahiya. The feminine second person plural, Ya akhawatu, all sisters, La ta'kulna. La ta'kulna. We don't see any change in the verb. That's the original form of the verb because the second person, feminine plural, yani ends with noon and niswa, it's mabniun ala sukun. So it doesn't change. When something makes it majzoom or mansub, it doesn't change. It remains in the same form when it's marfoon, mansubun, and majzoom. Okay, the second person, feminine plural, and third person, feminine plural, both end with noon and niswa. The noon and niswa means the feminine, the sign that it is a feminine plural. It remains the same. It doesn't change its form because of something that makes a verb majzoom. Okay, turn into page Nam.
One minute.
Well, I mean, that's a nice idea, but what do we do with this one? Ta'kulina. We touch this one, right? I mean, you're right in what you said, but as far as an Arabic language, not necessarily so. Okay, anyway, no problem. It's an idea, right? Nam. Tayyib. On top of page 5, we see a new grammatical point, second grammatical point of this lesson, that is the particle ba. Yani, taqulu, you say, for example, the first sentence they gave us, and they gave us 6 examples of the use of ba. Ba is a preposition, right? And here, Yani it's being used in a certain way. That is, as you see in the first example, نَأْكُلُ بِالْيَمِينِ. We eat بِالْيَمِينِ, with the right. Meaning, by using the right hand. بَا here means using. Using something. Okay? نَأْكُلُ بِالْيَمِينِ. We eat by using our right hand. We eat with the right hand. Second example. الشَّيْطَانُ يَأْكُلُ بِالشِّمَالِ. The Satan, يَأْكُلُ, eats with, by using the left hand. بِالشِّمَالِ. Number three. أَكْتُبُ بِالْقَلَمِ. أَكْتُبُ, from كَتَبَ, يَكْتُبُ, أَنَا أَكْتُبُ, I write, بِالْقَلَمِ, meaning what? With or using the pen. I write using the pen. Bahir mean what? Using. Using the right, using the left, using a pen, using a key, using something. Bil qalami, by using the pen. Number four. La taktub bil qalami al ahmari. La taktub. Here's la nahiya. Okay, originally it should be taktubu. But it became taktub with sukoon because it's majzoom. Huh? Majzoom. It's majzoom by la nahiya. La taktub. Do not write bil qalami al ahmari. Do not write using the red pen. And that's for the teacher. In some places. You can write with a red pen here. It doesn't matter. We don't mind. La taktub bil qalami al ahmari. Al ahmar is red. It's a not describing the pen. What type of pen? A red pen. Don't write with the red pen. Number five. Azhabu, from Zahaba. He went. Ana Azhabu. Azhabu ila al-jamiati bid-darrajati. Bid-darrajati. That means I go to the university bid-darraja, using the bicycle. I go by bicycle, yani using the bicycle, the Raja. Huh? Nam, nam. Yeah, the word the Raja, it should have a shadda. Now, there's no shadda there. Jazakallah khair. Yeah, the word, the last word of this sentence, bid the Raja, it should be dal with shadda and ra with shadda. The Raja. With shadda on the ra. There's no shadda written on the ra. It should be shadda. Darrajati. Jazakallah khair. And the last example. Zahabna ila makkata bisayyarati. Bisayyarati. Zahabna, from zahaba. He went. Zahabna, we went. Ila makkata, to Mecca. Notice that makkata is the object of the preposition. So it should take which vowel? Huh? It should take kasra, huh? Yani normally the verb after the preposition, the noun after the preposition takes kasra, but here we see ila makkata. Why? Because Mecca is mamnu' min as-sarf, so it doesn't take kasra when it's majroor. So we say ila makkata, yani we went to Mecca bis-sayyarati, by car, by using the car. Yani ba is, you can see from these examples, it means by using whatever it is. By using the right, by using the left, by using the pen, by using the bicycle, by using the car, by use of the car. Huh? So this is the meaning of ba here, yani by means of this thing that follows the ba. Zahabna ila makkata bis-sayyara. And notice that sayyara also, yani has shadda on the seen and on the ya. The shadda on the seen is because of what? Shamsiyya, because seen is from the letters, the sun letters. And therefore, whenever you have alif lam and a word begins with a sun letter, you have to double it, right? So that shadda is not originally a part of the word. That's only because it's a sun letter. So you don't say al shams, but you say as shams. And here you don't say al sayyara, you say as sayyara. But the second shadda on the ya is part of the word. And make sure you pronounce it like that. A lot of people pronounce this word wrong. As Sayyara. As-say-yara. Shadda on the ya and then elongation. Any question about the ba? Any question about the ba' and its use? Okay, the last grammatical point in this lesson. Fa'inna. Fa'inna. Yani fa, huh? And then you have inna. Okay, so you have the particle fa, and we're saying that this is fa sababiyya, means showing the cause or the reason for something. And then we have inna, which is for emphasis. Yani inna, like we say what? Inna allaha ghaniyun hakeem. Now, okay, so the point that we want to pay attention to here is not the inna, which shows emphasis, but we want to pay attention to the fa, the reason for something, fa. Now, by a car, bi sayyaratin, by a car. Now, طيب No, the alif is for L, the definite article. L as sayyara. But if you don't have definite article, then you just have B sayyaratin. Direct, right? No alif lam. B sayyaratin. طيب. The point we are making here, though, this last point, is fa as-sababiyya. Fa that indicates the cause or the reason for something, and then they give us some examples to explain how this fa is used and how we should understand it. Okay, the first example, la tashrab, meaning what? Don't drink. Hadha shaya. Don't drink what? This tea. Why? Fa. Fa is telling us why. Fa innahu baridun. It's cold. And they don't drink cold tea. They don't drink cold tea over there. They only drink hot tea. Because this iced tea, we don't know about that, right? Cold, oh, now they do, huh? It's cold, right? What is cold tea? What is this nonsense, huh? Now, so he's saying what? Don't drink this tea because فَإِنَّهُ because indeed it is barid. It is cold. Number two. لا تأكل هذا الطعام. لا تأكل هذا الطعام. Meaning? Don't eat this food. فإنه. Why? Because indeed it is فاسدٌ. فاسدٌ. Mean what? It's bad. It's rotten. It's spoiled. Fasid. It's fasid. Okay, don't eat it. Notice that in the first two examples, la tashrab hadha shaya. Shaya has fatta. And here, la ta'akul hadha ta'ama. Ta'ama also has fatta. Why does it have fatta? Because what? Badal. Because the object of the verb, ta'akul, la ta'akul hadha, huh? The object is the ism ishara. Followed by a noun with alif lam, that means it's bedel. And that bedel means it has to take the same ruling as the ism ishara, whatever it is. So the ism ishara is the object of the verb, that means that it is yani in the place where it should be mansub, therefore the bedel that comes after it has to be mansub with fatta. Third example, ikra hadha al-kitab. Same thing here. Ikra is the verb, hadha is the object of the verb, al-kitaba is bedel. It has to be like the object of the verb mansub. Iqra hadha al-kitaba, meaning read this book. Why? Fa innahu mufidun, because indeed it is what? It is beneficial, because indeed it is mufid. This is a very good word. Yani mufid, beneficial. Huh? Beneficial. Number four, la tanamu الآن. Huh? Meaning? Don't sleep right now. Don't sleep right now. Huh? Because we're in the middle of a class. لا تناموا. Originally this word is تنامون. أنتم تنامون. Like this. تأكلون تنامون. But because of لا ناهية, the noon from تنامون, the noon is deleted, it became تناموا. لا تناموا. الآن, right now. Why? فَإِنَّ, for indeed, فَإِنَّ وَقْتَ الصَّلَاةِ قَرِيبٌ. Oh, how true this is, huh? Don't, this is a better reason not to sleep. What, why don't sleep right now? فَإِنَّ وَقْتَ الصَّلَاةِ قَرِيبٌ. For indeed, what? The time of the prayer is near, close, it is near. Naam. Why? فَإِنَّ, because indeed the time of the salat, وقت الصلاة قريبٌ. The last example, قُلْ هَذِهِ الْفَاكِهَةَ. Again, هَذِهِ is the ism ishara, the object of the verb. It's in the place where it should be. منصوب. يعني مفعولٌ بي في محلِ نصب. So the الفاكهة, the بدل, also has to be منصوب. قُلْ هَذِهِ الْفَاكِهَةَ. Why? Why must I eat this fruit? فَإِنَّهَا لَذِيذَةٌ. Because indeed it, the فاكهة, is what? Delicious. لَذِيذَةٌ. لَذِيذَةٌ. Now, so this is the use of fa, and in this case it's also used with inna, but the main point here is the fa, telling us the reason why, the cause of something. Okay, here we're going to stop in just a minute. But what I want to do here is I want to just go over the questions, the exercises that go with this lesson, so that you can do it for homework. So pay attention right now. We're going to do it for homework. It says munaqasha, yani discussion or examination of these issues, vocabulary words, grammatical rules, and things that we learned in this lesson. Munaqasha. And munaqasha also means a debate or argument or dispute. Two people are arguing about something, say munaqasha. But here, the meaning of it is to have a discussion or examination of some issues. The first group of questions here, first group, says, أَجِبْ عَمَّا يَأْتِي. Answer concerning what follows. First question number one, بِأَيِّ, with كَسْرَ, بِأَيِّ يَدٍ نَأْكُلُ. بِأَيِّ يَدٍ نَعْكُلُ. What is the meaning? With which hand do we eat? Which hand do we eat with? باليمين. Second question, بِأَيِّ يَدٍ يَأْكُلُ الشَّيْطَانُ. What is the meaning of the question? بِأَيِّ يَدٍ. With which hand? يَأْكُلُ الشَّيْطَانُ. Does shaitan eat with? What hand does he eat with? الشِّمَال. Number three, اُذْكُرْ حَدِيثًا في آداب الأكل. What is the meaning of the question? Mention a hadith في, concerning آداب الأكل, the etiquettes of eating. That's this hadith, okay? Huh? That's the hadith we want, okay? Number four. I mean, there are lots of hadith concerning آداب of eating, right? But we're going to stick to this one. لا تأكلوا what? بوات? بالشمال. فإن الشيطان يأكل بالشمال. Number four, من الصحابي. What is the meaning? من الصحابي. Who is the companion? Meaning the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. الذي هو روى هذا الحديث. Who is the companion who narrated this hadith? لا تأكلوا بالشمال. Who is the companion? جابر رضي الله عنه. ومن المحدث الذي أخرجه. What is the meaning of the question first? Who is the muhaddith, the scholar of hadith, who akhrajahu, who collected, yani, and passed on, conveyed this hadith, okay? So here they use the word akhrajahu, and remember I said, rawahu has the same meaning as akhrajahu. Okay, it means the one who collected the hadith, placed it, yani, in a way that it could be conveyed to the people with this chain of narration and so on for the future generations. So who is the muhaddith الذي أخرجه? Who is it? Al-Imam Muslim rahimahullah. These questions are related to what? The hadith itself. The narration of the hadith. Who has collected it? Who narrated it from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And its meanings. The second group of questions is related more so to linguistic or grammatical points. The group, the second group, ba, it says, first question, مَدِدُّ الْيَمِينَ. Meaning? What is the opposite of yameen? What is the opposite of yameen? The opposite of yameen is shimal. وَمَا دِدُّ الْجَنُوبِ. And what is the opposite of Janub? Shamal with Fatah. Okay, the opposite of Yameen is Shimal, the opposite of Janub, Shamal. Question number two, Ma jam'a shaytan? What is the plural of shaytan? Shayateenu with Dhamma, single vowel, Mamnu min al-sarf. And the last question, Adkhil. Adkhil is from the verb, fourth form of the verb, Adkhala yudkhilu, which means to cause something else to enter. As opposed to Udkhul means enter. Adkhil means cause someone or someone else to enter. Adkhil, kulla kalimatin, that means use each word, mimma yati, from what follows, fi jumlatin mufidatin, in a beneficial sentence, meaning in a complete sentence, a complete sentence. The first word they want to use in a sentence is la nahiya. The second word they want to use in a sentence is the preposition be, meaning by using something, right? And the third one they want us to use is fa'inna. Okay, so this is your homework, to write out the answers to these questions. It's better that you get a notebook and write them down one lesson by lesson. And next class, inshallah, we're going to read your answers, or you're going to read your answers. We'll go over these questions at the beginning of the next class, and you're going to read your answers that you have written. Of course, if you didn't write anything, then you can't read them, right? So if you didn't write anything, you won't be reading, and maybe you won't be admitted into the class. So please write, okay? We're going to ask, what have you written? If you have an excuse that's legitimate, we're going to give you a pass. What is a legitimate excuse? That I'm just sitting in, I'm not really on level 2. But if you're really on level 2, there's no excuse. No free pass for everybody who's on level 2. Okay, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Please do the homework. Write out the exercises and memorize the hadith if you didn't memorize it already. And I would, if I were you, I would memorize the next hadith also. Because we're going to memorize it in class next week. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, okay? So if you go ahead and memorize it, that would be good for you.